Good morning. I hope y'all are as excited as I am about our study that we're going into. I think you're excited that we finally got through Genesis and that we're going into John chapter 1. So some people said that they've had trouble with John, and I don't know why, but I'm sure that we'll figure it out before it's all over with. John is written by John, who was at the cross when Jesus died. We might say his best friend. And John is the one that took his mother when he was on the cross and said, this is your mother now, and I am, and mother, this is your son. And they lived in Ephesus most of the time. And John lives to be an old man, so when he writes his gospel, he is probably in his 90s. He's already been in exile out on Patmos, and he's back into his home. And so he's had time to really think about Jesus as the spiritual person that he was, and more than autobiographical. So that's where it is. Anyway, we start with John 1. And Father God, as we go into your word, bless us with open ears and open eyes and open hearts. Bless me as I try to share your word with others, that the power of the Holy Spirit will work through me, and that all will be blessed. And lead me through everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so it starts out just like Genesis, in the beginning. And so in the beginning, the first words you need to look for in this sentence was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so it's not something that's happening. It's always God and the Father have been one. When you read the first chapter of Ephesians, you learn that the counsel of God decided together with themselves that they would create the world. And they knew before it was ever created that Jesus would have to go to the cross. So it's not a surprise when they didn't create the world, and when the man didn't do what they're supposed to do, oh, we've got to figure out what we're going to do with these people. No, it was in the plan of God from the very beginning. And so, you know, when we were studying Genesis 1, when it says, let us make man in our image, so we know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Father God was all together in creating. And so it shows that that is the godness of Jesus. Even in this first verse here, and it said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then it goes on to say that the Word was God. Mm-hmm. You remember when we talked about Genesis 1, the first thing that we have here is God speaks the words. That, you know, when we look at Genesis 1, it says we are created in the image of God. And one of our God-like characteristics is words, is reason, is thinking. He had to give us his words, and he had to have something that he could teach us about himself with, and we could talk to him with. So this is one of the greatest things there is. I was talking to Sharon, I think this last week. I said the most powerful thing in the world is a word. It started wars, it's ended wars. It can absolutely build anybody up, or it can tear anybody down. And so you need to realize, and of course words is what the world was created, because it says that God spoke, and it was what he asked. And so if we did not have the Bible, we would not know who Jesus and God are. You know, living in a Christian world, we kind of forget that sometimes. You know, a lot of people that just know the Bible, does not know anything about it, they'll say, well, there's a force. I can tell by looking at it, but they don't know who the force is. And so we are so blessed to be, most of us being raised by Christian people, and realize that this word of God here that we have in front of us, and that Jesus lives out what this word says. You know, he came to show us God. So one of the first things here, when it says that he is the Word, that tells you how much power is here. The Word. So when God spoke the Word, all of the world came into existence. And that's working through Jesus. And so he was in the beginning. Then the word, I've got here the word logos, which is Greek for word. It's the source of all wisdom and power. So Jesus has come in flesh in order to reveal God to us. And to us personally, he's the personification of wisdom. He's the active creative power who created the world and sustains the world. And it says by his word, he holds everything together. And when he's ready for this world to not be anymore, his word will bring it to an end. That's Jesus, and so we need to realize that from the very beginning. And so then it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Also, you know, in the beginning, the first thing that you have there is God's word, and you have light. Light, and that word, is that's just showing us God every time. Any light we have. And what all light will do, you know, even the light of the sun brings us all life. Nothing could live if we didn't have a sun. All of the energy comes from the sun, stored in the leaves. The animals eat the leaves. We eat the animals, and there you go again. So the sun is just a small portion of showing us who God is. So he said that without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him, not only was, and you put life and you put light together, you can't divide them. Everything that we see is alive because of the light of the sun. It's because of the energy that has come and that we have taken it in one way or another. And so when you look at life and you look at light, you know that that's all speaking or showing us a part of Jesus and part of God. And then it says the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You know, we still can't understand darkness. It's absent of light. It doesn't have a source. It's just something that's not. And so, you know, even in that goes all the way into intelligence. That goes all the way into illumination of who God is. That's all into thinking. And so you have all of this light or enlightenment, those words all there, is how life and everything continues to exist. And said it was life then, the light was the light of men. And then the light shines in the darkness. And then we have here a little part that John picks up. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. If you want to go back and think about John, pick up the Gospel of Luke. And you know, his daddy was one of the priests, and he was abiding by the getting to go work in the temple, probably the only time in his life. And that was when an angel came by and told him, you and your wife's going to have a baby. And of course, she said, well, I'm not going to have a baby. I'm too old. But that was Elizabeth who did have John the Baptist. And so that was who he was. Well, he was called by John. And it was always foretold that there would be someone going before Jesus to announce his coming. So this is always God's work. So he came as a witness to testify concerning the light so that through him all men might believe. And so through Jesus, we all can believe because he came to prove that he is from God and that he has the power that he did through miracles and what all he did. He himself was not the light. Now this is talking about John the Baptist, but he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And so then we have some descriptions here of what's happened when he comes into the world. So we'll go to 10. He was in the world and through the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. This right here can be misunderstood. So many people think, well, he came to his Jewish people and they wouldn't receive him, but that's not true. If you go back and look at it, everybody in the church to begin with was Jewish. All the apostles were Jewish. They understood the old law. They understood the prophecy. And then they understood Jesus when he came. And you have to remember there's a lot of different beliefs of a lot of different groups of Jewish people. There are those that's all settled in around Jerusalem. Then there's another group that's up around Galilee, like in Nazareth. Then you have people as far away as Rome. You have people as far away as Italy that were Jews at this time. And all of them that were far away and looking back begin to question were the ones in Jerusalem standing according to what God wanted them to do. And Nazareth was one especially that did not believe that the authorities that was at the temple at this time we're going by God's will. So it's just like anything else, kind of like all the Christian churches, they all kind of believe something differently. Some of them accept, you know, God is the truth and go by the truth of the law, and some of them do not. And so when it says here, don't lump all the Jewish people into one wad and say, well, they didn't accept Jesus, because he did. Even up until probably going into the second century, the church was considered to be a Jewish branch. They, you know, they thought, well, that's just a bunch of Jews, and they're still just doing something, whatever they always do, in a different way over here. So when it says that he came into his own, he created this world. He created all of us. He created what the world would be. And so when he comes into his own, he's coming to the whole world, not just to the Jewish people and for all eternity. So we need to broaden our thinking in so much of the things here and what we've heard in the past, and maybe look at it a little bit differently. He came so that when he was in his own, but his own did not receive him yet. And this is where it opens up to us. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed and believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. You know, when people come to you and say you have to be born again, this ties right back to that. We have to be born by the grace and the mercy of Jesus for what he did and what he came to live and do, and as our sacrifice. And when we believe he was who he said he was, and when we believe he died for me and he died for you and accept him, then he can, we are become a part of his family. I was in a class last few months, and there was one man that was very confused. He said, I don't understand the statement that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Is he eternal or is he begotten? You know, you'll say Adam begot so-and-so and somebody begot so-and-so and somebody. God is the Father of Jesus, man. He is begotten of God in that. He is the only begotten Son. And we are a part of this family, but we're adopted. But the only Son is Jesus. And if you'll go back and remember that an angel appeared to Mary, and it said the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and planted the seed of God in her womb, and he became a living being. And so he was begotten of God. Jesus' daddy is God. Jesus' mother is Mary. Mary is of the branch of the Judean tribe. It had to be coming in through Judah to be fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus would come through the tribe of Judah. So he is God eternal. He is God from the beginning. He's always been God's Son, and God's always been the Father, and the Holy Spirit's always been the Holy Spirit, because they're eternal. But Jesus, and Jesus refers to himself all the time he's on earth as the Son of Man. Because if he did not become the Son of Man and live as a man, he would not have been a sacrifice equivalent to the point that he showed everybody how to live perfectly. And then when he was the perfect sacrifice, then he gave himself up for us. He speaks of him as being the only begotten Son. And we know he is eternal, so he wasn't begotten when he was eternal, because he was already here. He's God. He's always been God. Just like God the Father has always been God the Father. And then the Holy Spirit's always been the Holy Spirit. And they were all together in the beginning when they sat down and said, let us make man in our image. All right, we're still talking about Jesus. He was in the world, though the world was made through him. And we're going back to he is the creator. He is before, and he is now, and he will evermore be. That's that was. He was, he is, and he is to come in. So the world did not recognize him. He came to those who was his own, but he did not receive him. Yet those who did receive him believed in his name. He gave the right to become children of God, children born of not natural descent, yet human decision, but born of the will of God. So that ties all humanity together. It was true when John said this then. It's been true through the ages, and it's still true for eternity. That the only way that we can come to know God is we've got to believe Jesus and believe he showed us the Father. Okay, we're going back to the Word again. The Word became flesh. He's still the Word. He is the Word, the truth, and the life. And he says, no man comes to the Father except through me. So, when you want to know what the truth is, Jesus, the life is, Jesus, the Word is, Jesus, that pretty much covers what he is. And then what did the Word, when it became flesh, do? He made his dwelling among us. I always liked in the old, I think King James, it said he tabernacled among us. You know, when they started wandering in the desert, things that God had them to build a tabernacle. It was a tent. And then he came in his power and settled into the tabernacle, and they knew that if they wanted to talk to God, they had to go to the tabernacle. And so when it says that he tended among us or tabernacled among us, that's who we go back to look at, because that was Jesus here with God dwelling within him. And so when you were in his presence, you were in God's presence because Jesus is God. And so he tabernacled among us. And so since he has tabernacled among us, we say his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is as good a definition of who Jesus is that you will find anywhere. And so we see his glory. You know, just thinking about creation, so many times that there's a scripture that says that the sky reveals the glory of God. Everything created shows you God, the seasons. There's no two leaves on a tree that's the same. There's no two people that's the same. We're not all accidents. God created us to have individual people, individual leaves, everything. Every leaf has a purpose. So then, and light will overshadow the darkness. I don't care how tiny the light is. If it comes on, all darkness goes. That's why I can't even, when I turn over and face my clock at night that's got a light on it, I have to pull up the covers and put it up here so I won't have that light shining in my eyes. And it's not much of a light, but it tells me constantly, in some ways, that God is with me and all things here. And that's why even, you know, with they giving us little pills now that's vitamin D, if you don't get out and the sun don't shine on you, you're ain't gonna live. And every minute thing, light is life. You cannot separate it. And you cannot separate life in Jesus any more than that either. So the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So that is, as I said, very, very good. Now then we're going back to hear some testimonies from John again. You know, he's still here with him. They're walking down by the River Jordan. And so then John testifies concerning him, and he cries out, saying, this is him whom I said he comes after me, but has surpassed me because he came before me. And said, from the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Where is Jesus now? He's at the Father's side. That's where he was to begin with. He's been restored back where he came from. You're tying all of this together, the Father and the Son, constantly in every one of the scriptures. And so also the law was given by God, and the law is still the law. We don't have all of the details of the law because they were specific, but the principles of the law are still the law. You go back and you go to every government that is, even Rome, and then so many of us patterned after Rome, was patterned after the law of Moses. What is right according to the law of Moses is right. That is God's word, and it is still good. So Jesus in grace did not replace the law, he fulfilled the law. So it's still all in existence. We don't live all of the details because we're not in the place where some of those things were given. So then we go on, and it says John testified concerning him, cries out again, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me has suppressed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received blessings after another, for the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. Now I'll tell you, we're going on into where Jesus is going to be baptized. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, and he did not fail to confess, but confess freely, I am not the Christ. Everything that happened as far as the religion, you had to get the okay from the Jews in the temple, and the Sadducees and the people there. They were supposed to have authority over everything. Every once in a while, they'll say, well, Jesus talked with such authority. And so up until the time Jesus came, who had his authority from the Father, anybody that did any speaking or did any baptizing or did anything in a religious manner had to give a reason for their authority as why they were doing it. Well, John, he's come in and he's baptizing everybody, especially all the Jewish people out in the river, because he keeps saying, you're all sinners and you've got to turn back to God. That's what repent is. And be ready to receive the Messiah when he comes. So he is the guy that's preparing the way for the coming of Jesus. And so then here, and he said, he came before me. Now he was born 6 months before Jesus. You remember when you study the coming and the baptism from Luke, that when Mary finds out Elizabeth, who is her aunt, is pregnant, well, she runs down to see Elizabeth, and then even John the Baptist leaped in her womb when Jesus and Mary came in the door, and she said, well, you know, he was testifying of this baby before he was ever out of her womb, and they were both miracles. And so it was a great comfort to her to be with Elizabeth, and so he's going kind of referring back to that. And so then they said here, they asked, well, then are you Elijah? You know, they'd follow a prophet. They follow Elijah, all the prophets that the Jewish people had. And so then they're still trying to figure out, why in the world is this guy having so much success out here and baptizing all of these people? And then John replies, I'm the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. It's always the wilderness or the desert. Have y'all noticed that? Make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, you go right to straight, you go straight back to God, is what he's saying here. We're not going through the Jews. We are not going through the Sadducees. We are not going through the people that's going on that we normally have our authority from. We're going right straight to God. And he said, and when he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. And that's in 35, so when they get down to that. But anyway, back up here, it said, the man whom you see the Spirit come down and remain on is he who baptized with Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And so then, the next day, you remember, I think there's just a whole lot more given in the other Gospels about the baptism. Because let's pick back up here in 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is the one I meant when I said a man who comes after me was suppressed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. He's given his reason, his credentials. Because God called me to do what I did. He told me to tell you that this is who it will be, and this is the sign that he gave me. So then Jay and John got the testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. It's really important that they use a dove here. You remember the dove that came back to Noah in the ark? From that time forward, doves were always symbolic of peace, of safety, of hope, that it's going to be all right. And so when the dove, as a symbol of the Holy Spirit coming and settling on Jesus when he's baptized, is saying he is bringing the peace, he is bringing the safety, he is bringing the hope, he is the one that will make it all right. And so he settles in on Jesus. And this sign was what John the Baptist had been looking for. And so when he sees this dove come in, and he said, I would not have known him except The one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one that was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. And so when you go back and read from the other Gospels, you know, when Jesus did come to see John, he said, I want you to baptize me. And he said, you haven't had any sin. That was what he was telling everybody. You know, you have to repent of your sins and you have to turn back to God. He said, there's no sin within you. I can't baptize you. And Jesus told him, you have to fulfill all righteousness. If you think of it real carefully, Jesus was coming to show us, I am going to come to be your Messiah. I will die. I will be buried, but I will raise again. And then when we, if we go back and read in Romans 6, it says that when we are baptized, we do what? And also, he had to fulfill all righteousness. He had to show us that as a man, he had to be baptized. And so each one of us then, we follow his example that he started in the beginning. And when we are baptized, we are baptized into his death. And then just as he is raised from the dead, it is a story that we also will be raised from the dead. So the baptism of Jesus and the baptism of us ties together. And so it's a powerful witness both directions, that Jesus made himself a part of us. And then when we die to ourselves and we are buried and tell everybody that we know Jesus died and for me and was raised, and I know that I have the hope of being raised also as Jesus was. So that's why we have the importance of baptism. So then we go on. So we have here a change. That was all the introduction. It's called the introduction. Anyway, we have now the calling of the first disciples. And so the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him. And turning around, Jesus saw them following them, and he said, what do you want? And they said, Rabbi, that means teacher, where are you staying? This one sentence here hit me about 10 years ago, and I've thought it's been great ever since. His reply is, come, and you will see. That's what he tells every one of us. You want to know me? You come, you spend time with me, and you will see. And I thought, wow, that may not hit you that strong as it did me, but it hit me pretty strong. We cannot know Jesus. We cannot know God if we do not dwell with him. We have to dwell with Jesus. He said, you know, when we're baptized by the Holy Spirit, he lives within us. And if we don't recognize he's our constant companion, and you're never alone. You know, there's a lot of people said after Gene died, I know he's been dead about 15 years, aren't you lonely? And I said, no, I'm not ever alone. I don't ever feel alone, because God is always with me. And we get up in the morning and I say, good morning, God. Are you ready for coffee? He said, if you come in, you'll have sip with me and I'll sip with you. So we have coffee. And then we have to talk to each other all about y'all. That takes until 10 o'clock. Anyway, you have to spend time thinking about God. You have to spend time looking at him. And so I just love this. He didn't try to explain everything he was going to explain with them, because he can't explain it in 1 minute. Somebody come over, why are you a Christian? Well, if you'll stand still for 5 minutes, I'll tell you, and you'll have it all figured out. That ain't going to work. But if you live Jesus in front of them, and you love them, regardless of what they're acting like, after a while they'll say, why don't you get mad at everything like everybody else does? And then you can say, by the power of God. And so you live it. Anyway, they're coming in here and he says, you come and see. So they went and they saw where he was staying and they spent the day with him, and it was about the 10th hour. They started on hours at 6 in the morning, so that would be about 4 in the afternoon. So they spent the whole day with him. And then here it was about 10 hours. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was when he would go find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, and of course this is the Christ. That's why when I read the Bible, when I read everything, I don't call Jesus Christ. That's a descriptive term. He is the Christ, but his name is Jesus. And when Joseph was told, said that Mary will have a child and you will name him Jesus. And it says that he is the Savior of the world. And in that name, and in that name only. So if I get to reading and I hit Christ and I say Jesus, it's just because of me. I'd just rather give him the honor of calling him by name than like me calling me the teacher. And so this is Jewish people, and they were looking for the Messiah for hundreds of years. And the most important thing to them was to recognize he is the Messiah. So they called him Christ. Basically, it's a teaching tool to tell each other he is the one that was prophesied. He is the one that was coming. But that is really not his name. His name is Jesus. That's why I said we speak Jesus. I thought that would have been an appropriate song to start this morning. I love that song. So we can go on then here. When he brings Simon. Mm-hmm. Sure.
The question on your question sheet, number 10.
Okay.
Who is the other person?
Who's writing the book?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's the only thing I know. I think it's John, because John is the one that's writing the account here. And and all the way through here, the only time that he even refers to himself is the one that Jesus loved. He will not put his name there. He will not put his name anywhere in this. And then he gets down to the end of the book, and he said, I'm telling you all this stuff so you'll believe in Jesus. He said if we wrote down everything that he did while he was here, there wouldn't be enough books to put them all in there. But it's a way that John, that wrote this book, was not putting his face there. Thank you for saying that. And yes. Thank you for the question.
Yes.
Somebody, if you read these questions.
Put down Andrew and Simon, and Simon put changes to Cephas.
He goes and gets him. But he was not. They were already come. If you go back up here where it said,
John was with Andrew, and Andrew went and got Simon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. When it goes here, it says the two disciples heard it and they followed him. The next day, it said when John had the two of his disciples came and saw Jesus passing by, and then they spend the day with him, and then they get down here, and then they say, Rabbi, where are you going? And so the two disciples go with him. And so when they went and saw where he was staying, they spent the day with him. And then Andrew is one of these, and that's Simon Peter's brother, and he was one of the two who heard what had been said, and he went and got Simon to bring him to Jesus. It's so easy to, you know, kind of read along like this. If you don't read every cotton-picking word, you're going to miss some. And so then when you say here, well, who in the world was here? Well, it had to be the one writing the letter, because he is making the account here of Andrew, and that's supposition. It could have been someone else, but to me that makes sense. But he goes and gets Simon. You know, so many times that we think that Simon always was named Peter. He wasn't. He was Simon. And also it says here, the first thing Andrew did was find his brother. His brother wasn't there. He had to go find him. And Simon, and tell him, we found the Messiah. This is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and said, you're Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas. Cephas means rock. Peter means rock. Peter means for Petros. Petros is a rock. And dear Peter, he's anything but a rock. When he is called, he is impulsive. He's all for anything until he falls. And so, but he will become that rock. And I think that's a real good lesson here. We may not be much when he gets a hold of us, but you live with him for a lifetime and he might change you into a rock. And a rock is something you don't move around too easily, especially a big rock. So we're going to scoot through here. We got 2 minutes. Anyway, they found the Messiah, that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. And then, of course, here then Andrew and the two others, and the first thing Andrew did was he gets Peter. You know, Andrew is always bringing somebody. Andrew doesn't speak. He doesn't have a sermon. He doesn't do anything. But we wouldn't have Peter if we had not had Andrew. You may be the one that's just bringing people. And so you need to look at it from that flow. So the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. You know, Jesus also said that my people did not have anything to do with me. He was talking about the tribe of Judah. Now, the tribe of Judah had a real hard time accepting Jesus. And of course, you go back, even when he was born, they killed all the kids two years old and under, so they could see if they could get him wiped out to begin with. And so he would land it up in Nazareth because he was afraid he'd be killed if he stayed into the area where the Judean tribe is. So one of the things there that you might have said, that he said that they would not accept me, you know, they kept saying, is anything right coming out? You know, these that were so steeped in being trained in around the temple and things like this, people all up in Nazareth, in a little hick town up there, they didn't have the law. They didn't have the teaching that they had around Jerusalem. So they didn't think anybody could have enough sense up there to come out that could be Jesus. Anyway, that's sidetracked. He calls now then, he says, we have found one Moses who wrote about the law and about this, or the prophets who wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. And that's another one. Come and see. Come and dwell. Come be with us. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him and said, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Well, how did you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus said, I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. The fig trees were like umbrellas. And lots of times people would get under a fig tree and you wouldn't know there's under there. They would be praying, or they would be meditating, or they would be having a time with the Lord. And so if you were under the fig tree, nobody could see you. And so Nathanael, well, how did you see me under a fig tree? Anyway, and then he said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than this, he said. I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. There's a couple of things here. Number one, you are the King of Israel. The King of Israel is very important because the king always represented God. And if you had us, that's why David was so important. He was the last strong king, and he was the last one to turn the people to God. And so when he calls Jesus the King of Israel, that is a real strong statement. And the next thing it says here, then he said, I tell you the truth, you shall, we have the dream of Jacob where he had the ladder to heaven and the angels was coming up and down. He said, you're going to see more than that. And what he's basically saying, I am the way to the Father. You know, you put up a ladder to get somewhere and the angels coming and going and coming and going. So there's two mighty truths here. And one of them is, you're going to find out that the latter is more than what you heard from the old law, that I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Father God, thank you so much for bringing us here to hear your word, because you are your word. You are the one that guides our hearts, Father God. We just trust you so much, Father God, for all the prayers that are here and all the ones that didn't get to get in the book, Father God, the ones that are not here. Father God, we just trust you with their needs. And we know that you're a God that sees us and cares for us. Yes. Father God, we just love you so much. And we thank you for this day. And we thank you for all that you are going to do for us, because you've already seen tomorrow. And we know that your plan is so much better than what we asked for. Allow us to continue to trust your circumstances that we're in, and know that you are not only there, but you are holding us by the hand, Father God. And we are just so thankful for this class, for your word, for your son Jesus, for loving us in spite of ourselves. We thank you for this day, and Father God, allow us to go out there and be a light to all that need to see you. Remove the darkness from this world, this fallen and evil world, Father God. Let us be empowered by your word that we learned today to tell the world that you are the light, that you are the only way, that you are the one that just guides our hearts and just thank you, Father God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for Miss Jean and Miss Sharon. And just thank you for all these ladies that just love to hear about you. We love you and we trust you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.